Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 27th day of December, 2023. I'm so thrilled to have two of my friends on the program. First, Mark Chansky, who is our guest for the first hour. He is an ordained minister and coordinator of ReformedBaptistNetwork.com, and we're going to be addressing during the first hour burying grudges. And joining me during the first hour as my co-host is my dear friend Jason Contino, pastor of Harborview Christian Church of Port Jefferson, New York. And he will be continuing on as my guest during the second hour. And our theme for hour number two will be Sola Scriptura, the bulwark against all false religion. But first of all, welcome back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Mark Chansky.
Thanks so much, Chris. I always enjoy when I can spend an hour or two with you. You've been a great blessing to me personally and the kingdom. I'm thankful for your labors.
Well, thank you very much, brother. And tell our listeners about Reformed Baptist Network.
Well, the Reformed Baptist Network is an association of churches who embrace the 1689 Baptist Confession. And we are dedicated to the theme of joining together for fellowship, that we might take the gospel according to the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. And we have churches gathering together for the purpose of building each other up individually, strengthening our churches, but then to be able to corporately gather together and send out missionaries. It's difficult oftentimes for one church to do the heavy lifting to send a missionary off to, let's say, Indonesia. It may cost $90,000 a year to subsidize a missionary, but one church can't provide the full $90,000. So maybe if you get nine churches, you can provide $10,000. So we provide that church-based support so that we can send missionaries off. Again, we want to make sure that men who are being sent off as missionaries embrace a common confession of faith. So we think of the 1689 as that common basis, and then the churches that would be planted in distant places would have the blueprint of the 1689 confession. And then also we plant churches not only globally, but also in the USA here. So as a network, we are sharpening each other as iron sharpens iron, and we're seeking to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Our goal would be that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Habakkuk 2.
Praise God, and welcome also back to the program my co-host for the first hour, Pastor Jason Contino of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island. And if you could, Pastor Jason, inform our listeners about Harborview Christian Church.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on. Yes, Harborview Christian Church is a non-denominational Christian church. in the Baptist tradition, and I happen to be a self-identify as a Reformed Baptist pastor, so I have a lot of questions for Mark about his network and how that would work for a church such as mine, which I think perhaps a lot of our listeners either belong to or might be pastors of.
Great. And if anybody wants to find out more about Harborview Christian Church, go to their website, harborviewchristian.church. harborviewchristian.church. Well, Pastor Chansky, I was very edified by watching and listening to a sermon. By the way, folks, it is available on YouTube. If you type in the YouTube search engine, Mark Chansky, C-H-A-N-S-K-I, and the sermon title, Burying Grudges, that sermon that I viewed today and that listened to will come up, and I strongly urge you to do that. But the focus of our discussion for the first hour will be on the theme of burying grudges, and you derive your theme from Proverbs 19, verse 11, if you wouldn't mind reading that for our listeners.
Yeah, you can look that up on Sermon Audio, Proverbs 19, 11. I think the title is Overlooking Offenses and Burying Grudges. I think one of the locations would be, I appreciate, Minden, Nevada, about a year ago. And the text is Proverbs 19:11, where it says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. And, you know, we as Reformed and Baptist people, I think when it comes to issues of forgiveness, oftentimes the default passage we initially turn to, should I forgive someone, is maybe a Luke 17:3, where it's of, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And oftentimes we say, okay, I'm willing to forgive someone if they will repent. But you know, Chris, oftentimes that text can be used as a self-serving club that we wield in order to coerce the person that we have in a disagreement with to come around to our viewpoint and our interpretation of what took place on disputable matters. Whereas I don't think that's the whole counsel of God when we consider the whole larger theme of forgiveness, because that text in Proverbs 19:11 is so crucial as an important puzzle piece. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. Here it is. It's December 27, and I'm thinking that there are a number of people involved in extended family relationships who are bearing grudges and justifying those grudges. That's why I didn't maybe go to a Christmas family reunion, because there's a person who'd be sitting at the Christmas table banquet and they haven't yet repented. And so I'm not going to forgive them. And so I'm going to continue in alienation. It reminds me of how we had a puzzle being put together last night by extended family. We had three of my daughters-in-law and my son and another son were working on this puzzle. And they get down to just about the end, and there was one piece missing. They couldn't find the last piece. And finally, they found it under the table. Well, likewise, when it comes to this issue of forgiveness, I think this Proverbs 19:11 gives a crucial piece that oftentimes when it comes to relationships and forgiveness and transgressions, this is a puzzle piece that's been it's fallen under the table for some. In fact, for some, it's even been hidden in the pocket because they just don't want to. We just don't want to forgive unless people come around to our view of things. Again, you think of that text. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, has his glory to overlook a transgression. And if you heard the sermon, Chris, you heard how I opened it up with an account about Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, fascinating.
In the mid-1950s, there was an important patent case that was coming to Chicago. And it was a guy named George Harding, who was a patent specialist for a distinguished law firm in Philadelphia. He employed Lincoln for the case. And then after receiving an initial sum of money from the firm, Lincoln got to work on the legal arguments of the case. But then shortly after that, the case was transferred to Cincinnati. And the law firm decided to use a guy named Edward Stanton instead as the attorney. But, you know, no texting in those days. So they never told Lincoln about the change. But for months then, Lincoln continued to work on that case. And then in late September, he went out to Cincinnati with his legal brief in hand. And when he arrived at Cincinnati there at the hotel where all the lawyers were lodged, Lincoln encountered Harding and Stanton as they were about to head off to the court. And Lincoln said, "Hey, let's go up in a gang." But at this point, Stanton kind of drew up to Harding and says, "Hey, why'd you bring that blankety blank long-armed ape here? He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't do us any good." And with that, then Stanton and Harding just turned away from Lincoln and continued off to the court on their own. And that snubbing, it went way beyond that immediate initial insult, because in the following days, Stanton kind of managed to make it plain to Lincoln that he wanted Lincoln to remove himself from the case. And Lincoln, he withdrew, but he stayed in Cincinnati to hear the arguments. And Harding never even opened Lincoln's manuscript, thinking it would only be trash. So all throughout that week, he was ignored at the hotel. The guys never asked Lincoln to eat with them. And even when there was a banquet for the attorneys, Lincoln had to stay away. And so it's no wonder that Lincoln, in retrospect, said, "You know, I don't think I'm ever going to head back to Cincinnati again, because it was really a dark week for me." And then 6 years later, the next time that Lincoln and Stanton shook hands, Lincoln was the president. But listen to this now. Instead of Lincoln's holding Stanton's obnoxious offense against him, Lincoln offered Stanton the post of Secretary of War. He disregarded that resentment. He disregarded the humiliation, because Lincoln recognized the gifts and talents of Stanton, and he chose to, just like the proverb says, it's a man's discretion that makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. So Lincoln overlooked that transgression, and frankly, he made one of the best choices possible for his cabinet Secretary of War, because this was during the era of the Civil War, during Lincoln's presidency. In fact, Lincoln and Stanton got so close that when Lincoln was shot, it was Stanton that was at Lincoln's bedside, and it was Stanton who uttered those famous words, "Now he belongs to the ages." Right. These guys, because of Lincoln not holding a grudge, he buried the grudge, he overlooked a transgression, and I think that's really a great model for us. But I know, Chris, I know what you're saying. Jason, I know what you're saying. But wait a minute. Stanton never repented. Stanton never admitted he did anything wrong. But, you know, there surely is a place for our requiring repentance. You look at Matthew 18:15, where it says, "If your brother sins, reprove him. And if he doesn't, then take two or three witnesses. And if he repents, forgive him." But you see, oftentimes, I think this Matthew 18 is for those cases where it's crystal clear that there is a sin that has been committed. And frankly, that's a very rare case oftentimes in human relations, where it's crystal clear, like there was a fornication or adultery in a marriage, crystal clear, or somebody embezzled $100,000 from a partner, crystal clear, But oftentimes the problems that we encounter is something like, you made this comment in a business meeting that offended me, or she made a comment at the Thanksgiving table that offended me, or you fired my son from that job and that offended me. And these are all cases where there can be different interpretations and different angles on what took place. Oftentimes the controversies that we won't forgive people of are disputable matters that aren't necessarily black and white airtight, like we see in Matthew 18 or in Luke 17. And I think we need to then apply the principle, that puzzle piece that's crucial, Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression.
Amen. Well, it's interesting. I just recently brought an end to a grudge I was holding against somebody. I'm not going to mention his name, but a very well-known Christian on television who I've had on my program. I was certain he snubbed me rudely at an event where we were both in attendance, where he was speaking, and it was shocking to me. I didn't understand it, and for a year, I did hold on to a grudge, and then finally I said, I've got to send an email to this brother and clarify whether or not my apprehensions were correct or not. And he replied immediately, within less than 5 minutes after I sent the email. And he said, dear brother, I am so sorry that I gave you some kind of impression that I was being rude or snobbish to you. Please forgive me. It was not intentional. I have nothing but the highest regard for you and what you do on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please, I hope that you invite me back on your program, et cetera, et cetera. So that brought an end to something that I unnecessarily carried around me for a year.
Yeah, that's a great example of times when we find ourselves offended or transgressed against or abused. Because, frankly, even if he had intended to treat you gruffly and unkindly, I think that passage in Proverbs 19:11 says, hey, just pass it by. Just overlook it. I think of even the word there in Proverbs 19:11, the word pass by, it's the Hebrew word avar, which means like pass over. I even think of how, in that passage in Exodus 33 and 34, where Moses is hiding in the cleft of the rock and the Lord's glory, which is an incinerating glory. It is a consuming glory. It just passes right by him. The sentence of justice isn't visited on the sinful Moses. His crimes are overlooked and disregarded by the Lord. And I think that's what it's calling us to do, that even if somebody intended to harm us, that we are to even so pass it by. There's this account in the late 1700s of a guy. He endured a humiliating scoff. So back in the 1700s, what did you do when somebody scoffed you there?
I'm for a duel, right?
That's right. You challenge him to a duel. His wife says, what are you doing? And he says to his wife, my dear, how could I appear in public again? My public stature is at stake. My community splendor, my community glory is at stake. And what happened to the man in the duel was he lost a duel, got shot in the shoulder, which was really a shame to him. Frankly, even if he would have won the duel, he would have been shown to be a fool who is soon angry. His true glory, community-wise or splendor or stature, would have been for him to pass it by the offense. Just walk away from the offense. Overlook the offense. Like Lincoln, you know, Lincoln, I heard, wasn't a very pleasant man by way of appearance, but that story shows him to be the most handsome man ever. He had Mothman syndrome, and maybe he did look like a monkey of sorts, but the reality he was was the most handsome of man. It was his splendor. It was his glory to everybody in the community when he overlooked Stanton's offense.
Amen.
That's good.
And before we go to our first commercial break, Pastor Jason Contino, do you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest?
You know, I think when we talk about this and we talk about repentance, I think my question would be, how do we define repentance when it comes to us being offended?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think much of it has to do with an ongoing sin. Mm-hmm. But I think crucially, Jason, it has to do with a clear-cut sin.
Yeah.
There are so many times when, oh, you use the example of you fired my son, and so I am offended at you. Okay, now you need to repent because you fired my son. Well, wait a minute. The boss may have had a reason. It could have been that the son wasn't there on time for work habitually. It could have been that the son maybe took lunch breaks that were too long. It was maybe that the son just wasn't skilled in the area, or that the son wasn't a team player. And that was the interpretation of the owner who fired the son. But the father, who's sometimes, isn't it true, our sons can do no wrong, has a different interpretation. There's that offense. And the idea of, you can put this into so many different interrelational struggles and tiffs and conflicts that we have, that sometimes, again, we're using the Luke 17:3-4 passage as a club. Until you come around to my interpretation of what took place, you haven't yet repented. So again, I think it is crucial, like you say, what does repentance actually mean? And I think, like Lawson comments on this text in Proverbs 19:11, he says, it's our duty and our wisdom to pass over not only slight offenses, but even injuries of the deepest dye, such as are called transgressions. And the word for transgressions is the Hebrew word pesha, which is the same word used in Genesis 50 and verse 17, when Joseph forgave his brothers, listen to this, Jason, for throwing him into a pit, for selling him off to the Ishmaelites. He lost the 13 arguably best years of his life. Yeah. And Joseph forgave him of that transgression, those brothers, of that gross transgression against him.
By the way, I just have to insert this story because it's so hilarious. You were speaking about the ugly appearance of Abraham Lincoln. I was watching a documentary on Abraham Lincoln, and a story was told as if it was true. It was an account that Lincoln gave. Whether or not he was making it up, I don't know. meaning Lincoln, whether or not he was making it up, I don't know. But Lincoln was on some kind of a journey on his horse. This is before he was president, and a woman was riding toward him, and she raised a rifle, pointing it at Lincoln. And they both came to a stop on their horses, and the woman said to Lincoln, I have always said to myself my entire life that if I ever met someone uglier than I am, that I would kill him. And Lincoln responded to the woman, if I am uglier than you, ma'am, please fire away.
Oh, no, Chris.
Uh-oh. Well, we have to.
I
go ahead.
Chris, this was before radio, right?
I'm not sure what you mean.
They had faces for radio.
Oh, right. Well, I have to go to our first commercial break right now. And if you want to join the conversation, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model to photorealistic image to wax prototype model to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. If anyone in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, whether it's something that they already have in stock or if it's a piece of jewelry that you want custom designed and created, whatever it is, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase, we will receive 100% of the profits from that sale. And this is a limited time offer. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer. So I'm urging you, please, I'm urging you to, if you have any interest or intention to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, please go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible to at least get the ball rolling for your purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to further ensure that we will receive 100% of the profits from that jewelry sale. That's royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com. Don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with my guest today for the first hour, Mark Chansky, who is the coordinator of the Reformed Baptist Network, and I also have co-hosting the program during the first hour, Pastor Jason Contino of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island. We do have a listener in Rowdy, Kentucky. I would love to find out the story of how that city's name came to be. Alexandria in Rowdy, Kentucky, she says, I have a difficult time understanding the motivation behind the Apostle Paul in writing, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. It seems as if Paul is teaching a motivation of vindictiveness. Can you please explain this?
Oh, I think it has to do with the idea of burning coals, hot coals on the head. It's like almost melting someone's grudge, the Arctic polar isolation that an individual has is melted by kindness. Isn't that what the Lord does? He causes the sunshine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. We should be melted by God's daily pouring kindnesses on our heads. I think that's the theme. In fact, you even look at that passage we're looking at as we're really calling people to not bury, to keep grudges, and rather to bury grudges. And how maybe there are some folks listening who haven't gone to the Christmas family reunion because they have a grudge against someone. And we were talking about Lincoln not being the most handsome man, not being the most beautiful man, but how it says it's a man's glory to overlook a transgression. And how you think of how when God displays his glory and his beauty, he really does it most strikingly and most gloriously. Oh, even on the cross, look, it says there in Exodus 33, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, he's showing his glory to Moses, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Foolish men sometimes can see forgiveness and overlooking a transgression as being drably unassertive and sheepishly meek. But really, think of the Lord Jesus. He appears most beautiful when, like it says in Isaiah 53, he stood as a sheep before the shearers, not opening his mouth. He was passing over transgressions. And nowhere is God displayed more beautifully and handsomely and gloriously than when he's overlooking a transgression. And we can be most godlike when we overlook transgressions. I think this is really crucial because, you know, Chris and Jason, we live in this hypersensitive age where people are overdosing on sensitivity training, where even harmless comments are interpreted as microaggressions and hate speech. And so oftentimes we kind of overindulge ourselves with the expectation that the world has got to treat us with kid gloves. But no, that's not what the proverb says. It says that it's our discretion that makes us slow to anger, and it's our glory that enables us to overlook an offense. So it's just crucial. Like in this world, let's say you don't get invited to a party that everybody else you know is going to, and I'm offended. Or my boss commends my coworker in the company meeting, but not me, and I'm offended. Or maybe you don't receive a thank you card for the birthday gift you gave, and I'm offended. Or your son sits out on the bench while the other kids in the team, the coach's son and his friends' kids, they all play, and my son sits and we're offended. We get all these elbows that we're jostled with, where we feel hurt and upset and insulted and snubbed and slighted and wronged and ignored and mistreated. But you know, it's our glory to overlook these transgressions against us instead of our demanding justice.
Amen.
That's outstanding.
Did you have a question, Jason?
No, I was just in agreement with both of you. That's outstanding. That's such a great way to look at it. And in my own life experience, having two sons that played high level sports, both played Division I college sports. My older boy played soccer at Elon University. My younger guy played lacrosse at Manhattan College. I saw it at the highest level. The difficulty for a parent where you know what your child is capable of. And I had coached when they were young and you realize you look at your own child through a magnifying lens and it's where the coach is managing an entire team, right? Coach is managing on a soccer team, college soccer team, 28, 30 players. For me, when I felt that hurt, because I saw this talent, this ability, this effort, this culmination of all these years of playing, and now feeling he's maybe not getting the playing time he deserves, still made the team, still traveling with the team, still getting into some games, but as that frustration started to overtake me a little bit, the cure is. For me, was what you're pointing at. It was simply to pray for that coach, pray for his staff, pray for the teammates. And before I knew it, it didn't seem as important, as significant as what I had thought it was. It wasn't even as important to my son as it had been for his father, who was harboring this resentment, this animosity, you know. So I could really relate to that analogy.
That's a great example, Jason. And I think sometimes as Christians, we believe that we're compelled to go confront that coach. Mm-hmm. And we're compelled to tell him that we believe that he sinned against me as the father and he sinned against my son. But in reality, look, the proverb says it's our glory to overlook a transgression. This is really speaking of forgiving unilaterally. Now think about this, guys. It's calling us to forgive unilaterally. And I know what you guys are thinking, or even some of the listeners are thinking, but you'll say, but come on, Pastor Mark, God never forgives without repentance. You know what I say? Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah.
And he forgives continuously. And look, it's so often due to our ignorance. You know, you think of Psalm 130, it says, oh, Lord, if you would mark iniquities, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Or like it says in Psalm 40, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I cannot see. They're more numerous than the hairs of my head. Gentlemen, I have so many sins that God has forgiven that I've never confessed and I've never repented of. I have so many sins of thought and word and deed that I can't even count. Even yesterday, I sinned hundreds of times yesterday, and I didn't confess them all. But God unilaterally forgave me. And so we should be willing to, yes, be like God and unilaterally forgive, like it says in Colossians 3, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you forgive others. And I know there's a, you know, there's a story of, well, no. When somebody sinned against me, I should always have this disposition of being willing to forgive if they repent. I have forgiveness wrapped up in beautiful paper, and I've got a nice bow on it. And if they come and if they confess all of the sin and if they repent of the sin, then I'm willing to give them the gift of forgiveness. But I tell you what, gentlemen, there are people who are in Reformed churches, Orthodox churches, who have these little gifts that they've been storing up in a massive warehouse, where they're holding these grudges in this warehouse against people and saying, I will forgive them if they ever come to me and wholly own their sin and repent. I believe this is not in keeping with the whole counsel of God. Yes, there are occasions, like I said, the clear-cut sin, the adultery, the embezzlement, the issues where there is no question that there is sin. But we're using this again as a club that we wield and says, if you will repent, if you will come around to my view of it, if you will embrace my opinion of what took place, then I will repent you. That I will forgive you. That is a very self-serving use of these biblical passages that is not, I believe, in keeping with the whole counsel of God. We need to be willing, like it says in, oh, even 1 Corinthians 6:9, where it says, why not rather be defrauded? Why not rather be wronged to be able to pass over transgressions against us?
Okay, we have another listener from Lawrenceville, Georgia, Filipina. And Filipina says, would a text that is depicting Joseph in the Old Testament forgiving his brothers be along the lines of what you are talking about today, even though it was clear that Joseph's brothers were guilty of serious sin and only appeared to be repentant because of terror over what their brother may do?
Yeah, I think you're right. It doesn't bear all the marks of an ideal repentance, does it? Mm-hmm. It seems to be something self-serving. But again, oftentimes we will say, okay, you've come to me and you've sort of confessed your sin, but I'm not really sure if you've really embraced the depth of your transgression against me. Or I don't think you really have turned away from this sin, and therefore I'm going to hold you in the prison of my grudge a little bit longer until you prove to me. Again, I believe this is totally not in keeping with the principle that would be expressed by the proverb, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. It's his glory to overlook a transgression. Look what Joseph did. Joseph is, yes, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus who has forgiven us. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do in that sense, but also the way that Christ is an example for us, that he walked in such a way that we are to follow in his footsteps.
And we have another listener, Tyrell in Brentwood, Long Island, New York. And Tyrell says, having been a Christian for decades, I know that the kinds of sins that Christians most frequently commit in my own experience, and I would include myself, are gossip and the very sin that you're talking about today, holding on to a grudge. As a pastor, would you agree that those are the most prevalent sins amongst the body of Christ?
Yeah, I don't know if they are the most prevalent, but, I can say that you got me, you just hit me between the eyes with the bullseye, and how I can be the guy with the warehouse full of grudges. And you think of those passages like a Matthew 5:7, where it speaks of, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Or even like a Matthew 7:2, that the measure that we measure to others, again, the idea of judge not lest ye be judged, the measure that we measure to others, that measure will be measured out to us. Am I somebody who is merciful? Am I somebody who is overlooking an offense? Or am I like that unforgiving servant in Matthew 18 who's forgiven the fortune by the master? Then I go off and throttle and throw into prison, the prison of my grudge, one of my fellow servants. I think that's a crucial issue regarding what is true Christianity. We are identified by the fact that we are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. I think that's so fundamental. In fact, let me even just share this idea of the grudge and the way of dealing with that grudge. Like I said, here it is, Christmas time, and there are people who refuse even to talk with extended family, and there can be subtle feuds at company gatherings, or people can even be kind of cold and distant at churches. There's one commentator who said this. He says, grudges are easier to hold than forgiveness is to hand out. And then the idea of the holding of a grudge, it's not simply punishing somebody else. It's really self-mutilating. There's a corrosive effect of holding a grudge. It's toxic to myself when I hold one. Like it says in Proverbs 14, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but passions rot the bones. And there are physiological effects, like one's intestines, that even physicians will tell you that they will eat your intestines out. And the idea of how the Lord, it says in Psalm 103, it says, verse 9, it says, the Lord does not keep his anger. And so we shouldn't be holding in our hearts this anger, but we should let go of it. We should let it go. Plummer writes somewhere, he says, wicked men and devils carry grudges, but God and good men imitating his example don't. In fact, let me just kind of give a little story. I started with Lincoln. Let me go with another historical character, and I'm going to go with Robert E. Lee, guys. I hope you're not offended by this. Robert E. Lee, I've read a number of his biographies. Lee was a very godly man.
Yes.
Yeah, Lee was a sinful man. Lee was a product of his time. And Chris and Jason and I, we're all products of our time. I assure you of that. But here's the account with Lee. Lee, after World War II, he visited a woman in her estate.
Probably Civil War.
Yeah, that's right. He visited a woman and her estate in Kentucky. And after dinner, the woman went out in her front yard and she pointed to this shattered, grand old oak tree in the front yard of her house. And she just was bitter. She was complaining about how federal cannon fire had splintered that tree. And she stood out front and she was hoping that Lee would curse the North. But he just stared silently, and Lee said, ma'am, cut it down. Just cut it down and forget it.
Mm.
I think likewise for us, you know, there are these splintered trees that we have in our front yards, and we think of the people who shattered them. You know, the best thing for us to do would be to apply that passage where it says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. You know, even I know it's okay, we're just listening to a talk show, but when we're thinking the scriptures, we should always say, like Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there be any sinful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Chris, we talked about providence before we started here. And I believe that maybe there's one person who's listening to this, and the Lord wanted you to be here and to ponder this text. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger. It's his glory to overlook a transgression. I think of in the upper room when the disciples were there and the Lord Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And what was the godly response to that? Is it I, Lord? Am I the one? Am I the one that Jansky's talking about that needed to hear this? Just pause and ponder. I'm almost 65 years old, Chris and Jason.
Mm.
And I think about keeping short counts and the need to be able to reconcile. If there is anyone that we have an offense with, like Romans 12, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. May it be that somebody, maybe me, I'm just thinking to myself, what other relationships? I've really tried to get with people and interact with people and confess and reconcile with people. Anybody here, maybe this is timely. Hopefully it'll be like apples of gold and settings of silver, a word spoken in the right circumstances.
That's so good, Mark. You're speaking right to my heart. So maybe it was me. You know, I see a dichotomy here in as you're speaking, and it's almost like when we expect repentance, where we're putting ourselves almost in God's place as a judge. Yet when we offer forgiveness, not expecting that repentance, right? Because that word, I'm still going back to that word of repentance. We're almost putting ourselves in. If you have sinned against me, and I'm holding on to it as if you sinned against God, right? If I expect repentance, because I want you to turn from what you're doing. And what do I want you to turn from a pastoral perspective? I always want you to turn towards Christ. So now when I have this expectation of repentance because you sinned against me, Jason, then I'm putting myself, I think I'm putting myself in too lofty of a spot. Yet we can offer forgiveness, and in offering forgiveness without this expectation of repentance, I see Christ-likeness in that. That there's no other opportunity to be more Christ-like than when we offer forgiveness, because what did he come to do? To forgive the world, right? So I see that, both sides of that, in as I'm listening to you speak.
We've got to say goodbye to Pastor Mark Jansky, unfortunately. And Pastor Mark, it's been such a joy to have you on. I look forward to your frequent returns to the program. I want to repeat your website for our listeners, reformbaptistnetwork.com, reformbaptistnetwork.com. Please come back to the program soon, Pastor Mark.
Thanks. I've enjoyed it. Every blessing.
All right. God bless you. We will be back with Pastor Jason Contino as our primary guest. We'll be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, don't forget that solid-ground-books.com is still currently experiencing a very serious crisis in book sales. So I'm urging my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners to come to the rescue, especially knowing that solid-ground-books.com is one of our most vital and dependent upon advertisers, that you would come to the rescue and go to solid-ground-books.com today and make a purchase of books, whether it be your first time. If you've never purchased before, please make today your first time purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com. Or even if you're a regular customer, you might even be buying books every month from them. Well, if you could make today your very largest purchase ever, if at all possible. And please mention to solid-ground-books.com that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest for the second hour, Pastor Jason Contino of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, I have some very important announcements to make. Please, folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to go away, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please always remember that I never want anybody in my audience to cut into the finances that you have set aside for giving on the Lord's Day to your own local church where you're a member in order to bless Iron Sharp and Zion Radio financially. In other words, never give your own church less money than you normally give them because you want to bless us with a gift. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a financial gift. There are two things that are very clear in the Bible that are to be primarily of our concern when we are using our finances with which God has blessed us. We are to support our church and support our family. Supporting my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, please, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, like Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York. I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I have helped many people in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you are without a church home that's biblically faithful. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Pastor Jason Contino, as we continue in hour number two under the theme Sola Scriptura, the bulwark against all false religions. And it's great to have you now as our guest as you switch hats from co-host to guest. And Pastor Contino, I think it would be good to set the stage for our discussion on Sola Scriptura to bring up this praise report that you had about a friend who was a Jehovah's Witness, or should I say was a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, so first of all, Mark was outstanding. That was a really fascinating and quick hour, Chris. I didn't expect that to go so quick. But he was amazing. When you reached out to me on pretty short notice asking me to be on the show, I figured, let me look at our last interview, the last time I was on the show, which was August 24th of 2022. And I listened to our program just to see what we had touched upon already. You gave me that program was more or less about my testimony, having come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses to becoming a Christian and then becoming a pastor. And since that show, I've gone from being the associate pastor to Pastor Pete Jansen has retired this past April, and I became the lead pastor here at Harborview Christian Church. So I was listening to our show, and I had told you that I was visiting a friend who I was a young boy was a close friend of mine when we were Jehovah's Witnesses. And this buddy who was having myself and my wife up, we reconnected right around 2019, 2020. And I could tell from his questions, he had seen me speak on the deity of Christ at conferences and had seen some of my sermons. I could tell from his questioning that the Holy Spirit was working in my friend Richie's heart. And we did the show. I was at his house up in Warrensburg, New York, upstate New York by Lake George, when we did the show. And just in passing, I mentioned to you that I was at Richie's house and that I felt the Holy Spirit was working in his heart, and I felt he would be coming to Christ soon. And what was happening that week, what we didn't get into, was Richie had a next door neighbor. Actually, it was a rental of Richie's. Richie owned the house. And this next door neighbor, Mike, who was a Christian, was passing away from cancer. And Richie became more or less his hospice nurse, was spending time at Mike's bedside, spending his last weeks with him. And when Mike, I had become friendly with Mike also in an attempt to hit Richie from several fronts with his next door neighbor and with a local Baptist pastor up there, Aaron Spoonhour. Richie brought Mike to the hospital a couple weeks prior in July to find out that he had lung cancer in both lungs, and it had metastasized through his body. And Richie had seen Mike say to the doctor who was brought in, I don't need to follow up with an oncologist. I don't need chemotherapy. I know I'm very, very sick. And I'm looking forward to meeting my creator, to being with my brother, to being with Christ, and to being where time no longer exists. And I'd reached out to Mike in a word of encouragement and said, "You're Richie's going to be saved in watching you die well." And that day that we did the podcast was, like I said, August 24th. Throughout that night, Richie stayed at his bedside, and around 4 a.m. was praying with Mike and for Mike. And he just cried out to the Lord and said, "God, why can't this be me instead of my good friend? Why can't I take this punish for him, this misery, this grief, this agony?" And as he said that, the Lord told him, "This is what my son did for you." And his heart was broken, and his heart of stone was replaced with a heart of flesh at 4:45 in the morning on August 25th. And I just wanted to share that praise report with you, because it's something I mentioned in passing and something that I saw played out in real time.
Well, hallelujah. And there are probably, well, I'm not saying probably, but possibly, it's a better way of phrasing it, there are possibly some Roman Catholics listening who are scratching their head saying, wait a minute. The title of this segment is Sola Scriptura, the bulwark against all false religions, and they are scratching their heads because, wait a minute, I've been told by Catholic apologists on YouTube and the internet and speaking engagements that Sola Scriptura is the very thing that gives birth to cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and all kinds of false religion. But the irony is that these cults, almost every single time, have an ecclesiology that resembles far more closely the Church of Rome than it does Sola Scriptura. Am I right?
Well, I would say so. When you have one or several men. What you see is these cults always have one leader or several leaders that have authority that transcends scripture, that exceeds scripture. And you say, well, how could that be? Because oftentimes they won't admit to that. But in reality, if someone is still speaking and you're saying that scripture is closed, then just by definition, the fact that I still am speaking and you're going to listen to what these leaders say over and above scripture, because scripture is not still being written unless you're going to continue to add to your books, right? The Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants. If you're going to continue to add through the Watchtower, the Awake magazine, you're continuing to add, you're going to have things for people to follow up with, then it's not Sola Scriptura. It is above and beyond that. And you are going and you're changing every time that you open your mouth. And I would say that the church in Rome has this same problem for this coming down through the centuries.
Yeah. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower Bible and Tract Society really is like a cousin of the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church. And when I say that, I'm not saying that there's any connection religiously.
But
you cannot, according to the Jehovah's Witness cult, you cannot understand the Bible without the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
100%.
And, you know, this goes with the Mormons. In fact, it would have been hilarious if it wasn't so tragically sad when I was watching the Coming Home Network once. And, you know, that is a network dedicated to people of primarily a Protestant background who have converted to Rome. Very often they were raised Roman Catholic, became Protestants, evangelicals, fundamentalists, and then returned to the Catholic Church. The host of that program, Marcus Grodi, actually dared to say that the cult of Mormonism is a result of sola scriptura. They don't even believe that the Bible is their sole source of authority. In fact, it's the inferior source of authority under the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrine and Covenants. You wonder, you know, these people have been around long enough to know that this is a fact, and to be saying that sola scriptura causes this, I can't help but think it's intentional deception and slander. What do you have to say about that?
You know, I want to tread so carefully here because our family and friends that are still stuck in Rome, they have so much more correct than the other two organizations, the other two cults that you bring up. So whereas the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, I find it very, very, very hard to believe that someone could be saved inside of those cults because they have a wrong Christ and a wrong gospel, right? Yet the Roman Church, I believe, has Christ right. They just put so much between us and Christ, between their people and Christ. A magisterium, a priest, perhaps even his mother, saints. And so the gospel tends to get distorted, right? It's not just Christ and his work. It becomes Christ and his work, and then almost like the other two, then all that you could do on top of that, right? So so I just, there is a difference, Chris, but we see there is this denial or discouragement of being in the Bible. And why is that? Why do we think that they would discourage their people from being in the Bible, from reading the Bible, from knowing the Bible, from studying the Bible? Clearly, Paul says that you need someone to preach it to you. You need someone, you need to know what's in it. Why would that be? I think the answer is self-evident, right? Because they're teaching things that aren't in the Bible.
Amen. And I think we should also clarify what exactly sola scriptura means, because there might even be multitudes of evangelicals out there who have no idea what that is because their pastors are ignorant themselves of church history, or they don't think church history is important at all. But sola scriptura, scripture alone, does not mean, as the frequent Roman Catholic caricature or slanderous description of that would be, that we believe that we can just go off into the woods, read the Bible, and we will perfectly and correctly understand it, and we don't need any teachers' instruction in this. Now, on the one hand, hypothetically, it is true that a lost sinner can go into the woods with a Bible and read portions of it and have their heart open, their eyes, ears, and their mind open to receive the truth and be saved. But they are violating the very teachings of Scripture if they choose to remain in that state of just wandering around as a lone wolf or a maverick without placing themselves under the authority of elders in a local church, right?
Yeah, well, if we take Scripture in its full context, we see that that's where we're to get to. So I think what we saw with Martin Luther is saying that, you know, a boy could come in from the field and look at Scripture and be saved by it. Absolutely. Now we move on to the next step, and we want to follow. We want to obey. We want to share. So now I think it certainly helps, and we're told not to we're told that we are to be in community with others, right? So there's the aspect of being saved by Christ and his work, being saved by that gospel message, that he took our sins to the cross, the propitiation for our sins, that we receive his righteousness because he received our sins upon him and drank from the cup of the wrath of wrath of a righteous God against our sin. But now we want to see, well, how are we to live? How are we to respond to this? And it's not by living in isolation, and it's not by trying to understand the Bible in a heretical manner, but it's by being in community and by you know, having this support system around us. That's what I see in Scripture.
Yes, it's a double-edged sword. We are not only to place ourselves under the authority of elders in a biblically faithful local congregation, and we are to recognize that we ourselves have a very limited understanding of the unsearchable Scriptures. But at the same time, we are to continue to study the Scriptures so that we can be Berean and test everything we're hearing, even from our own pastors, by the Scriptures Amen. Themselves. So it is a, it is not one thing or the other. It's both. And obviously, if in our study of Scripture, we come to realize that the church we are in is heretical or in opposition to the Scriptures in serious ways, and folks, I'm not suggesting that people leave their churches for any reason over which they find disagreement with a local church where they're a member. But you know, there are a lot of false churches out there, or a lot of shallow churches that will never be an aid to a believer's growth. And there comes a time when very often you have to say goodbye. I love you, and you have to be gracious and humble about it. But move on and search for a church that is in true harmony with the teachings of the Scripture. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to step on you, but if people wanted to get a an understanding of that, there was an article written, I think it was in 2005. It's still all over the internet, Theological Triage by Albert Mohler. And you could see where, you know, that first level would be where something is heretical versus where you're either a Christian or you're not. And this is where the cults don't fall into that. They are not Christian, you know. And then and the Catholic, the Church in Rome would probably not make it past that first cut either. And then the second level would be secondary issues. Can we am I willing to say that a Presbyterian who believes in baptizing babies, they're certainly a Christian. They just have a different understanding than perhaps you and I do, Chris, as people who would say that we're Reformed Baptists, right? So would we be able to be in the same congregation with them or not? And then the next level would be the tertiary issues, things like eschatology, where perhaps we could certainly be in the same study group, even the same church, yet we would have fun hashing these things out and extending grace to one another. So I think that article, Theological Triage, would be something for people to, that could help people to take a look and say, you know, where do I fit in with this? Where do I fall within my congregation? Is this something I want to bring up to my elders and voice that I'm uncomfortable with the way that they're teaching this or what they're doing with this or not?
Well, we have a question from Xavier in East Mauritius, Long Island, New York. I have heard disagreement among Christians, even Reformed Christians, over whether or not Christians should allow Jehovah's Witnesses who arrive at their doorstep into their homes so that they can open up the Scriptures to these Jehovah's Witnesses and share the gospel with them. Even though the motivation is good and godly, I have been told by some Christians that this is inappropriate and we should just say goodbye to them because they are false teachers.
Yeah, so if I could speak to that for a minute. These are lost, hurting people. These are our neighbors. And Jesus asked, who are your neighbors, right? He clearly points out that our neighbors are everyone. We're to pray for everyone. We're to share with everyone. And what makes Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons so easy to share with in some respects is when we want to share our faith, we oftentimes bump into people who don't want to talk about spiritual things. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Yet the Jehovah's Witness is knocking on your door to talk to you about spiritual things, talk to you about theological things, to talk to you about God. They are standing there with a wrong Christ and with no belief in the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you there is nothing for you to fear of them unless you are not a saved Christian yet, in which case, get yourself saved, have the Holy Spirit indwell you, and learn enough where you're able to have a conversation with these people. But I would encourage our listeners, be in prayer for these people and be in prayer for opportunities to share with everyone who has a wrong gospel and does not have Christ, whether they are teaching or not. Put your neck on the line, have a conversation with them. The thing that I think will work best for the Jehovah's Witness and the LDS missionary is to lead with questions. They are there to teach you, not to learn from you, but you could certainly teach them an awful lot by leading with questions.
Yes, and don't you agree that a lot of that decision on whether or not to welcome Jehovah's Witnesses into your home is how seasoned and how biblically literate you are as a Christian? Because mm-hmm. obviously a person who is not yet very familiar with the Bible, Jehovah's yeah. Witness is going to tie them up in knots. And yeah. therefore, yeah. the better thing might be to say, hey, can you come back next week or tomorrow when my minister is here with me? Or I have a friend who's very learned in the Bible, and we can both sit and talk these things over with you. Wouldn't that be something that would be a good suggestion?
Yeah. Yeah, and I would be a little bit more trying to think of the term. I don't want to say deceptive, but I wouldn't say I want my pastor here. I would say I have a brother in Christ, or I have a friend that I would love to be here. We'd like to hear more from you, but I'd like for him to hear this also. This way they don't think that they're walking into a trap. I would recommend if somebody is not stable in their walk yet, that is not theologically comfortable having conversation, they're going to take about 6 or 7% of the scripture that they know very, very well, and they're going to pound that. Once you start taking them out of that area that they know well, you're going to see in most cases a cognitive dissonance, as they do not know that these scriptures even exist when they start to see the deity of Christ, or that the Holy Spirit is also God. For a baby Christian, I would not recommend that. But we don't want to stay baby Christians for long. We want to be learning, and we want to be looking for opportunities to share.
And I think that a lot of people are misinterpreting, when it comes to this, 2 John chapter 7, mm-hmm. or should I say 7 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who remains in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Now, I have heard by people I highly regard and trust as sound exegetes that this mm-hmm. is referring to not letting somebody have your or use your household as an office for their ministry or something, or to hold court and maybe
run
a Bible study. You would agree with that?
Yeah, so inviting them into the house to sit at the kitchen table and have a cup of coffee and discuss the deity of Christ is not the same as having them come stay overnight, stay in the home, and give Bible studies from your home. You're not going to allow them to turn your home into a kingdom hall. You're going to invite them in, have a discussion with them, and share with them why you believe what you believe. And that seems to work very well for me in that, do you want to know why? You're going to be running into a lot of Christians, I will tell an LDS missionary pair or the Jehovah's Witness pair. You're going to run into a lot of Christians. Would you like to know from a Christian's perspective why we believe in that? Oh, sure. You know, they'll come in and they'll come in and allow you to show them so that they can show you what they believe. And that could be a very civil discussion and a beautiful discussion if it's presented with the right heart and in the right way. But like you said, Chris, I'm glad you pointed that scripture out. That's a good thing to be aware of. You're not going to have them in your house teaching Bible studies.
Amen. And we have to go to our final break right now. If you have a question, send it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisAronson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Aronson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. And Pastor Jason Contino, we have a listener in Findlay, Ohio, who doesn't have a question, a clarifying comment. Cindy in Findlay, Ohio says, in relationship to our brief discussion before the break on 2 John verses 7 through 11, I was just looking at it and it's gone. Where is it? statement. Oh, here it is. It was common practice back in the day when the scriptures were written that traveling evangelists would stay with families along their journey. That is what the scripture is referencing when it says to not bring them into your house. Obviously, Cindy is referring to traveling evangelists who have false teaching, not any traveling evangelists. I'm assuming that's what she means. But obviously, if you don't know who they are, in fact, you shouldn't be letting total strangers into your house anyway, especially if you have children in your home. When I say that letting them into your house, I mean staying there. But let's see. We have Jameson in South Setauket, Long Island. That's not very far from Port Jefferson, is it?
I know Jameson.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, Jameson says, how do you respond to a Catholic who says that Sola Scriptura caused denominations such as charismatic and Pentecostal movements? Well, that's kind of interesting since there are charismatic Catholics. The Franciscan University of Steubenville, Ohio, I believe is officially a charismatic Catholic institution, if I'm not mistaken, but whether I'm correct on that or not, there are many charismatic Catholics. So what's your answer to that?
Well, I think it's the same thing, right? It's pointing to the fact that by taking the Bible alone, they are ingraining this fear in their people that they can be lost. They could be lost within the pages of the Bible, and they could be lost. Their salvation can be lost. When in reality, it's you know, it's a false dichotomy or a straw man argument. We are going to take the Bible, and like we already said, like we already discussed, we're going to, with other solid, sound Christians, elders, in a community of believers, we're going to take the Bible and we're going to preach it, teach it, learn from it, and use it as a guide for our lives, as opposed to, like you said, a magisterium that can change moment by moment, week to week, you know, day to day, year to year, pope to pope. Now, if I could just transition, Chris, I have in front of me from the this says the Vatican Dispatch. I can't find the it's a Jesuit article from March 15th, 2021, from Gerard O'Connell. And it says the title of it is Vatican with Pope Francis's Approval Says Priests Cannot Bless Same-Sex Couples. The Vatican Congregation for Doctrine of the Faith has issued a statement in which it declares that the Church does not have and cannot have the power to give the blessing to unions of persons of the same sex. It said Pope Francis was informed and gave his assent to its publication. And here we are, 2.5 years later, on December 18th of 2023, and we see that very thing happening. Which is it? How do we get from one to another? Because the answer is because man's heart is corrupt. Man can't decide these things on his own. He needs an immutable God with an immutable word, which we stand and teach and follow and obey.
Amen. Well, Pastor Jason, I think that because of the fact that we have such little time left, I'm going to hold off on any further listener questions and have you summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this important topic.
You know, in leaving on that, I think what we need to do is, you know, I'm not doubting the Pope's intentions. I think his intentions are to both strengthen his church, strengthen the faith of the people who have faith in the wrong place, him and his magisterium. But I think his intentions could be right. But what is that doing to souls, Chris? What are people who might be struggling with this thing feeling and thinking? And if the Pope says it's okay, if the Pope says my priest can bless me, and we need to define the terms, what is a blessing on this? How do we bless something that God calls an abomination? But as a pastor, as an elder, as a Christian, as a podcaster yourself, I think we point people to 1 Corinthians 6 and where Paul says, you know, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral. That's all of us. nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, very specific group of people there, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And here's the beautiful part. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were not made clean by a pastor, a podcaster, a priest, or the Pope telling you that you're clean. You're made clean by coming to Christ and being washed and being sanctified and being justified by accepting him and his work on your behalf. And this is what we as people, as Christians, need to know and point to. And that's where sola scriptura is the dividing line between us and the cults, us and the places that are going to tell you something that is going to tickle your ears, which is exactly what Paul warned against.
Amen. And for anybody to continually regurgitate the lie, as Roman Catholic apologists still do, that sola scriptura is the blueprint for anarchy, or a blueprint for anarchy, is absolutely mind-blowingly ridiculous, because in saying so, they are actually having the audacity to say that it is safer for Christians to have a pope as their shepherd and guide, and to view him as their vicar of Christ, Christ's representative on earth, when he has gone so far, as you have mentioned, to bless same-sex unions, whether he recognizes them as marriages or not. It is still absolutely damningly heretical to bless a relationship that the Word of God calls an abomination, unnatural, and damnable. And to say that that is a safer guide than the God-breathed words of Scripture is lunacy. Absolute mind-boggling lunacy is the only way I can describe it. And what makes it even more remarkable is that Roman Catholics, at least those that are historically true to authentic Roman Catholicism, they agree with us that the Scriptures are God-breathed. They don't believe that they're sufficient, but they believe that they are God-breathed. And how could you possibly believe that a God-breathed book or a compilation of books is inadequate and you need someone like a pope who, when not speaking ex cathedra, according to your teaching, can lead the flock of Rome in all kinds of damning and heretical and blasphemous directions? It's absolutely mind-blowing. But Chris, go ahead.
No, if I could just say, this presents for us, if we're in prayer and we're looking for opportunities to share with others, this presents for us a wonderful opportunity to witness to our Roman Catholic family, friends, and neighbors. If in March the Pope said, I don't have that authority, and then in December, March of 2021, and then in December of 2023, he does a complete 180 and insists upon the authority. Most thinking people, when seeing that, even if they agree that that's what needs to be done by the Pope, will say, well, at one point, the Pope was wrong. He was either wrong in March or he's wrong in December of 2023. And I think that that's a wonderful opportunity for us to just point out what God's word says, both about these things, right? About that it's a sin and that you can be changed and washed and cleaned and sanctified. And it gives us this opportunity, and about what it says about our heart, that man's heart cannot be trusted. So why would we trust the Pope's heart? He's a man just like you are.
And we are out of time. And if you want more information about Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, visit Harborview Christian Church. I'm sorry, HarborviewChristian.church. HarborviewChristian.church. And folks, please make sure you tune in tomorrow and Friday, because we have Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries on 2 days in a row here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want you all to always remember the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.